It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, January 25th. I'm Patricia Naft. Colorado has seen its first avalanche fatality of the season. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Officials say on Thursday afternoon, snowmobilers riding in the Ruby Range west of Crested Butte triggered the avalanche. The Colorado Avalanche Information Center says one of the riders was caught and buried on a day ranked considerable for danger. Marjorie Troutman is with the Crested Butte Police Department.
And unfortunately, as a result of that, one individual was trapped in the slide and later died as a result of his injuries.
She says 32-year-old Daniel Bradley Sethness, who went by Brad, was from Crested Butte.
In our small community, it does happen. Being out in the wilderness here, we do have some risks that many people don't necessarily encounter on a daily basis, you know, maybe living near a big city, but out here in the wilderness, we do experience it.
This is the state's first avalanche fatality of the 2015-2016 season. Last year in Colorado, three people died in avalanches. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
A former DeBec town marshal is under arrest again, this time for embezzlement. The Daily Press reports that Michael Lorsung turned himself in to authorities last week on charges of felony theft, embezzlement of public property, first-degree official misconduct, and perjury. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation is looking into dealings Lorsung had with town vehicles. San Miguel County Commissioner Art Goodtimes announced he will not be running for re-election. For the past 20 years, he's held a seat at the commissioner's table, and this year will be his last. The impetus for the decision was the recent vote to set term limits.
While I enjoy it, it's been great. I was really almost relieved when our county voted in term limits again. I've had five terms, and they voted in only two terms for commissioner. So for me, I wasn't going to run for a sixth term if people wanted to. I think it's a mistake that they make to do that. I think it's the wrong way to go. But that said, it frees me up from having to continue in this public service vein, which I say I love, but it isn't really, you know, my love.
Goodtimes was a bit of a rarity in that he was a member of the Green Party. Currently, he's working on an official apology to the Ute tribe and trying to establish an agricultural carbon offset program.
Yeah, I have had some unusual kind of visionary things that we've worked on. But like anything else in government, it's never one person. It's really a combination of people. So I've had great staff people, great people on the outside of the government that are working on projects like this.
He's looking forward to having more time to devote to his true passion, poetry. Across the country, there are thousands of abandoned coal mines needing to be cleaned up. But cleanup funding is getting harder and harder to come by, largely because the government pays to reclaim old mines by exacting a fee on new mines. With coal production slowing down, there's less money to clean up the sins of coal mining's deep and dirty history. For Inside Energy, Reed Frazier of Allegheny Front shows us what coal has left behind in Pennsylvania.
About an hour south of Pittsburgh, Eric Cavazza scrambles up a steep hillside of loose rocks and pebbles.
As we get up here, there is a wooded hollow over this way.
Cavazza is head of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection's Abandoned Mine Program. He's leading me up a coal refuse pile. It's basically a hill made out of coal mine tailings. There used to be a mine here in the small village of Fredericktown. This pile is all that's left of it.
And this is all the waste material which was trammed back up on the hill. They had a big conveyor that brought it back up and just dumped it.
The pile literally backs up onto people's houses here. Hardly any trees will grow on it. It's unstable, and it's a nuisance for the town below it.
The material erodes off here. It erodes into the river. It erodes into small streams. It blocks the storm sewer system in the towns.
The pile was created before modern environmental regulations required mines to clean up their mess. Decades ago, companies just left piles like these behind when a mine stopped making money. Pennsylvania has been left with hundreds of these sites, the most of any state in the country.
We were a leader in mining for a very long time, fueled a couple world wars and the Industrial Revolution. So, unfortunately, we're left with many problems from that.
Cavazza would like to clean up this pile, but his funding source keeps shrinking.
What's happening to that money? Lots of things.
The budget sequester implemented by Congress a few years ago has taken millions out of the state's cleanup program. Also, there's this. The federal government pays for abandoned mine cleanup by assessing a fee on current coal production in places like Wyoming. In 2014, for instance, that state generated more than half of the cleanup funding for the whole country. But coal production is at its lowest point in 30 years in the U.S., so funding for cleanup is also down. Andy McAllister is with the Western Pennsylvania Coalition for Abandoned Mine Reclamation.
We need every scrap of money we can get in this state to fix this problem.
Pennsylvania officials estimate the slowdown in coal will lead to about a 6% decline in mine cleanup money this year. The shortfall in funding will slow efforts to clean up what is essentially a slow-motion environmental catastrophe in the region. Abandoned strip mines, refuse piles, and mine drainage have poisoned thousands of miles of streams in coal country. Paul Zimkevich is a water scientist at West Virginia University.
A lot of these refuse piles are in fairly remote areas, up in headwater locations, and because the acid is so concentrated coming out of these refuse piles, even though the volume is not gigantic, they can wipe out many miles of headwater streams that would otherwise be very valuable.
Pennsylvania alone has 5,000 miles of streams that have been impaired by mine runoff from places like the Fredericktown waste pile. By simply grading the pile, capping it with soil, and seeding it with grass, the state could dramatically improve the water quality coming off of it. Cavazza's group did just that with a nearby pile last year. One reason why this site is so pressing for Cavazza is that it isn't just in some remote place. This dump is in the middle of a town, Fredericktown. Just ask Julie Bundy. She lives literally across the street.
The slate dumps. Yeah, when we talk about where we live across from the slate dumps. Everybody knows where that is. I think it's just something that people have accepted as being part of the community.
Standing on her porch, Bundy says the pile isn't so bad during the summer. The leaves on the trees make it so you almost can't see the pile.
I know that my neighbor told me at one time it was a farm, and there was apple orchards and everything on that property, and it was very beautiful at one time, and then this happened.
Bundy thinks it would be beautiful if someday the big pile across the street simply goes away.
For Inside Energy, I'm Reed Frazier. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. We'll be right back.